I wanted to share this with you really quick before I got started on something. It's from Joe Woodard's newsletter. And it said, it's another super hot day, 115 degrees, and I find Michael behind a shopping center trying to stay cool. After drinking 3 bottles of cold water, cooling off a little bit, he slowly began to open up, and he told me he had tried to take his life last night with all the pills that he had. He said, I just can't take it anymore. He described what he thought would be final prayer to God. He got super emotional, talking about all the wrong choices he had made in his life and believing that the only way out was just end it. So he took all his pills and he prayed and was hoping to die. He said when he woke up, he said, God, you must have a plan for me to survive. He said, and then Joe shows up less than an hour later with meals and an ear to listen. He dedicated his life right on the spot to the Lord and said that for the first time in his life, he felt joy and now a reason to live. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love that you're a part of that? I think it's important that you hear these stories because you're a part. We support that. You know, we support the work he does and have for all these years. And I just think it's very important that you get to hear these stories. For the Jews right now, they are soon about to enter the month of Elul, which on our calendar is September the 4th. And it's a month of preparation. It's the month before the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement and Tabernacles, which to them is the most important of all the feasts. But it's the month ahead of time that's a time of reassessing their hearts and making preparation for the Feast of Trumpets. I shared this with you not so long ago, so this is not new information. But it's just to reset your heart back on this. Elul is a time of introspection. It actually means that. It means a time of introspection. It means taking stock of your own heart and your life. And during this whole month of Elul, or however they say it, during that whole month, every morning a trumpet is blown. Every single day, except on Sabbaths, it's blown. And that trumpet is blown first thing in the morning to awaken your heart to stop and reassess my heart before the Lord. Stop and pay attention. They also read Psalm 27 every day. And so that whole month is set, getting their hearts ready. I'm thinking that this year has been a very sobering year for the Jew, for Israel. In fact, it should be for the whole world, including America. It should be a very sobering time for us. It is to me. And it should be for all of us. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say this the other day. He said, these are precarious days. Now, those of you who know me know I don't use that word. And I think I know what it means. And when I think I know what something means, I know I better look it up because I could really be wrong. But it means, I wasn't totally wrong. It means uncertain. These are uncertain days. It means unsettling. These are unsettling days. And it actually comes from a root word that means the need for prayer. These are precarious days. Days that are unsettling. Days that are uncertain. Days that need prayer. What I would like for us to do as a church body is let's read Psalm 27 over Israel. Let's stop and do that right now. As a church body, we love Israel. And I want to let us as believers join. They're not reading it every day right this minute. It's not September 4th yet. But I just felt like the Lord put this on my heart and for us to do this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What a wonderful time to read this scripture with what Israel's going through right now, right? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lord, we just pray this over Israel, your people who you love and we love, and we pray for them. We declare this psalm over them in this season, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, in the word that I read, in the word that I shared with you, I had read a book by Tommy Tenney years ago, and there was a mention in there, the whole thing was really about the church coming to a place of unity, and how it was about John 17, the prayer that Jesus had prayed, his desire to see unity in the church. I think we can all agree that there has been great, great division in America, but also in the church. There's been great division in the church. I don't think I've ever seen anything or heard of anything like what I hear of today as far as division. Not just in America, but in the church. A lot of division over this election and the direction of America. And I need to tell you something. These are not political issues. They may make them out to be, but they are not. These are not political issues. These are biblically moral issues. That's what they are. They are spiritual issues. And we really need the church really needs to get on the right side of the Lord in this. We really need to get on the word side of this. The church does. There are a lot who call themselves believers. They are not on the word side of this. And that is grieving to my heart. And it just can imagine how it must be to the Lord. But that's the issue that's at hand. You know, this God we serve, he doesn't change his mind. He never changes. Never. He doesn't like, oh, well, that's just old-fashioned. Now I change and we're going to do it this way. No. He's God. He never changes. His word never, ever changes. What was good then is good today. Okay? It never changes. He doesn't change. So we need to be on the Lord's side in this. Abraham Lincoln made a statement during the Civil War. Someone asked him, do you believe that God is on your side? And here's what he said. Sir, my concern is not whether God is on my side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. It's not a matter if God's on my side. I just need to make sure I'm on His side in every issue. Amen? Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who opens the word of God and causes it to come alive in our hearts. Holy Spirit, I ask You to open the eyes of our understanding, illuminate us, help us to see what You're saying to us today in Your word, through Your word. Holy Spirit, have Your way in our hearts and our lives as we give honor to the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just read a little place of that prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. You ought to read the whole prayer when you get a chance. Verse 20, I love this because he says, I'm not just praying for these alone, these disciples that were his, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's me. That's you. Through coming on down through the years, we have come to believe on Him through their word. So He's praying for us too. That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in me and I in You. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that You sent me. That the world would believe that our unity, our being one in Him and with one another, will cause the world to believe that the Father sent Jesus. And the glory which You gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and You in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that You have sent me and that You have loved them as You've loved me. That's a hard one to swallow. But I didn't say it. Jesus did. That the Father loves you as He loves Jesus. He said it. That the world would know that You've sent me and You've loved them as You love me. That's amazing, isn't it? It's kind of hard to swallow. But it's true. He's called us to be in union with Him as He is in the Father. All of us, the Jews and the Gentiles. His desire, all Jewish believers, all Gentile believers would be made one in Him and with one another. That's His desire. In this union, together as one. And we see words that describe this, like the family of God, the army of God, the body of Christ, the church, which is His ecclesia or governing body in the earth. You see all the bride of Christ. You see all these different words that we join together, become one family. We become one body. We become one army. Okay? We're not all individual little armies. We're not all individual little parts of a body. Although we are parts, we are one body. Amen? Amen? The church gets real hung up a lot of times. Believers get real hung up on individualism. Okay? And we've got to be careful not to become so independent. Like, I really don't need you. It's just kind of like between me and God. Are y'all with me? It's between me and God. But the truth is as a body, we do need each other. My leg doesn't do really well by itself. And I don't do real well without a leg either, by the way. I mean, all the parts need one another, right? I mean, it's like, duh. But we oftentimes act that way, especially when we become independent of one another. I don't need you in my life. You know, that kind of thing. I remember, and I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it again. It's worth repeating, and some maybe haven't heard it. I don't know who hadn't heard it by now, but years ago, in the church I was going to, I was frustrated with things that were going on in the church. And I said, Lord, my salvation is between me and you. My salvation isn't dependent on y'all. Whether I pray or not is between me and the Lord. It's not dependent on you. Whether I read my Bible, whether I pursue the Lord, whether I have a relationship with Him or not, that's between me and God. It ain't got nothing to do with y'all, right? And vice versa, right? So my question was, if that's the case, Lord, then why do I need these people? Do I have to come? Do I have to come? Why would I have to come to church? Why would I need to if it's all between me and you anyway? And he was so clear to me, I will never forget it as long as I live. He said, because you draw strength, you draw life from one another, whether you feel it or not, because I probably wasn't feeling it, and I didn't tell him that, but he knew it. He said, whether you feel it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you understand it or not, and whether you like it or not, because I designed you to function that way as a body. And so you draw strength from one another. So we are individuals, yet we are part of something bigger than us. And it's the body. And it's actually His body. It's His body. It isn't our body. It's His body. There's so much in the Word that you can find that we oftentimes read as blessing for me and all these things that God wants to do in me and for me and blah, and on and on. That you, if you really get into it and you start studying out, He's actually talking about the body, not just you. It's things He's promises and things He's saying and things He wants to do through the body, not through you. Are y'all with me? You know, this covenant we're in, it's a covenant between the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we are brought into that covenant. It's not the covenant between me and them. It's the covenant between His body, His family, and them. It's not just me and them. Are y'all with me? It's a body. It is a family. So turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I've got a little bit of walking around in the Word to do. Verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Just go over one chapter. And verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Many members, one body. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleases. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body we think to be less honorable. Notice it said seems and we think. Pay attention to that. On these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there would be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. These ladies who've had knee issues can tell you that when the knee is hurting, everything's hurting. When you have parts of your body, when one part is hurting, everything's hurting. Can anybody attest to that? I mean, just a headache, like everything. Everything is down. When one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. You know, I was even thinking about this. When we pray for someone, it's not my victory in praying for someone and they get healed. It's our victory because we're a body. It's like when we go to the Philippines. We're going in on their grace. They're the ones who've been laying the groundwork. They're the ones who've been serving. They're the ones who've been praying. They're the ones who've been ministering to these people. So when we go in, we're riding in on the grace of God on their life. And when God's moving powerfully, we are not all that in a bag of chips. No, it's a whole lot of people coming together that we've been praying before we ever went. They've been praying. They've been laying groundwork. And God gets the glory. Amen? And so even in that, when somebody is healed, when God moves powerfully, even though he may do it through you being the one who's there at the time laying hands on them, it's a victory for the whole body. It's a team win. Amen? The individual member of the body is a part. But in community, you get to see the whole body. We need to hear this. In community, you get to see the whole body. And when people see the body, they should see him in his body. When people see the community of believers, when they see us joined together, they should see him. When we love one another, we're in unity. When we are honoring of one another, we care about one another, and we are joined together, united in him and united with one another, the world sees his body. And they see a part of him like, wow, this is who he is. But when we're not, they also see that, and it gives them the wrong idea of who he is. Amen? I mean, it is true. Jesus said, when the world sees us in him and us joined together in union one with another, that the world would know that the Lord has sent him. And not only that, there's another scripture, I think it's in 1 John, that says the world would know that we belong to him. They would know that we belong to him. And all of that is through our oneness, our care, our honoring, our respect of one another, our honoring of one another. Come on. Our love for one another. I got a hold of something this week. I was sharing it this morning before we came out in prayer. A member is connected to another member. Right? And it's connected by a joint. It's the joint where the life flows one member to the other. It's through the joint that the life is flowing. Isn't that koinonia? like my joints are quitting me. And when they're not behaving right, there's something wrong, right? Isn't that right? The word koinonia, just to remind us, is the Greek word that we often see in Scripture translated fellowship, communion, community, unity, our joining together, our fellowshipping, our partnership, partakers. All these words, when you start looking at them, they're all one Greek word that are just translated different words, however it maybe sounds good to translate it. But they're from one Greek word, koinonia, which means the joining together and sharing and exchanging of life. And that's what this does. There's the exchange of life from this part to this part. It's a privilege for us to be members of one another. Did you realize that? It really is. And I think a lot of the church doesn't realize the privilege and honor that it really is for the church to be able to be joined together. It really is. A lot of people have no desire to be joined together. They don't want to go. Because we're just not perfect. I heard somebody say one time, I might mess it up, but I heard somebody say one time, well, if you found the right place to go, the perfect place, then you'd be the one to screw it up and make it imperfect because you ain't perfect either. Something like that. You get the gist of it. God is so much wiser than we are. He really is. He's so much wiser than we are. He has a powerful, life-changing purpose and plan in joining us together. And in our joining together, there are things that cause us to have to grow up. I don't like being joined with her. You know, he gets on my last nerve or whatever. I can't stand how they do this or how they do that. Well, then that's the stuff where you need to be joined and let God do some healing through the joining, right? You need to pray for one another, honor one another, respect and value. Honor is a valuing of one another. That's what it means. To honor is to value. And we're joined together in Him. Okay? It's His body. And I'm finding out the Lord does not appreciate us talking about one another, about His own body. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. It grieves His heart when we don't value what's valuable to Him. Are y'all okay? It matters enough to Him that we honor one another that He says this in Matthew 5:23-24. If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother has an issue with you, put your gift down on the altar. Go make right with your brother and then come back and give your gift. That's pretty intense. It lets you know He values the relationship more than He does the gift. He prioritizes the relationship over the gift that you're bringing to the altar. And He wants us to learn to prioritize it too. That's why He's teaching, saying, leave it, go make that right. And He didn't even say, if you got an issue with your brother, He said, if you remember, your brother has an issue with you. That tells me you should already got your stuff straight if you had an issue, right? Right? Yeah? He loves every one of us. He values every one of us so much He gave His life. I mean, He showed the value He had for us in the price He paid for us, the life of His own Son. And Jesus didn't hold back anything. And it grieves Him when we don't honor one another and show value to one another. When we talk about one another, when we treat each other dishonorably. Are y'all with me? Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11, backwards to verse 18. I know I've talked about this recently, like in the last, I don't know, months. I can look back in my notebooks to tell you exactly when I shared some of this stuff. But when he's talking about it, I'm going to talk about it. Right? And if he talks about it 10 times in a year, that's what we're going to do. Right? Another thing I realized that in talking about this, what is it that he said we were supposed to be doing this summer? That he was desiring for us to build strong family. And he's not just talking about building strong Johnson family, Chavis family, Ganey family, Ship family. He's talking about that, yes, but he's also talking about building his family strong as well and having firm foundation under us of his truth and of faith. And all of a sudden, it's just dawning on me lately as the things that he's highlighting, like, wow, you really mean for us to get this? Right now, we're talking about the body or the family. He's calling it a body in this particular place. So in this passage, Paul said in verse 18, first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Really, what he's talking about when you study it out is like divisions, like cliques, factions, certain little groups of people. Kind of like junior high. Now they call it middle school. Kind of like junior high. You're all friends in elementary school. And then in junior high, it all broke off into different little cliques. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It all changes. And they break it all up. Well, the church was doing this too at Corinth. And they were breaking up into little groups, little cliques, little factions. He said, therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one's drunk, is hungry, and another's drunk. So we come together and Cookie and Teresa and I gave somewhat this example before, but they made the chicken pastry and the fried chicken. Sim didn't have nothing to bring except a can of corn. Carrie got the old recipe for wine and made wine. They're all over there drunk, not sharing with anybody. Sim stuck with her one little can of corn for her crowd. Y'all over there eating all the pastry and fried chicken. Me and Melissa ain't got nothing. Are you seeing the picture, as goofy as it sounds? That is what he's saying. Josh brought crackers and peanut butter. So instead of pulling it, dang. So instead of bringing it, putting it all together. I didn't want to leave you out, bud. Bring a watermelon. Instead of pulling it all together and us sharing in this, you got your little cliques, and y'all are over there, and y'all are hungry and fat and happy. They're over there drunk. And then you've got others. He said, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? And this word despise here is have no value. Do you not honor the church, the people of God? And you shame those, like me and Melissa, who had nothing, and Sam with just her corn. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. I do not. And look, Thomas and Lisa were just coming in trying to eat and enjoy. She's making sliders and trying to fit in here and enjoy. And she's like, what is up with y'all? You see? I ain't leaving nobody out. Sierra, too. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner Now we're going back to treating it as common, without value, disrespectfully. Whoever does that in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment. King James says damnation. And if you look it up, it's saying condemnation. Condemnation to himself, not discerning the body. Some translations say the Lord's body, but you'll see an asterisk by it, or it's italicized, because your translations from original text do not say the Lord's body. It says the body, which is talking about the Lord's body, but it's talking about us. Go back to what the whole subject is about. Them coming together. And not rightly discerning, not rightly showing proper value for his body and for one another. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, which means die. For if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anybody's hungry, let him eat at home. Fill up at home and then come together and we'll snack on the sliders and a little bit of pastry and chicken, right? Let's look at some of these words here, because some are weak, sick, some die because they did not judge the body rightly. In other words, because of not having a proper valuing or honoring of the body, things don't go well. Not rightly discerning, judging. Now, he says, not rightly discerning the body, and then he talks about judging ourselves. Both of those words are the exact same Greek word. Exact same one. And they mean to give a measuring or an assessing of something and deciding the value of it. And then how you value it is how you're going to treat it. China that my mama gave me, I do not send grandchildren out in the yard to have picnic and eat snacks with. They get paper plates. Because I assess the china as valuable. And so I don't let it be used in an unvaluable way. Okay? What happens, what he's talking about here is we're assessing a proper value on the body of Christ. We're assessing it. We've measured it. We've placed value on it. Therefore, I will honor it. I will protect it. And I will treat it well, not carelessly. And he's talking about how we're treating one another in the church. If you read the whole context of Scripture, even going back to talking about the body. And we're many members, yet we're one body. And the body coming together. So because of not giving proper value, not measuring properly, I could become weak or sickly or even die. Because what happens when we come together? Life is exchanged. Wholeness takes place when the body is rightly joined together. Separate them and see what happens. Sickly, weak, and eventually it'll die. Cut my arm off and see what happens. But when we give value, proper valuing, that keeps us healthy. Proper value in this union of the body of Christ keeps us healthy and whole and strong. No wonder the Lord's talking about these things. He said, I want strong families and I want strong family. Because the days ahead, it's going to be vitally important that you're not at each other's throat, but that you value one another. Amen. That you'll stand with one another. Are y'all following this? You know, when you're hearing the Lord talk about something and it gets so big in your heart, you're just hoping somebody else can get it like you're getting it, you know? It really matters to him. It really matters. Hebrews 13. Verses 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So let's stop and look at these just a minute. He talks about three specific things that can be sacrifices for us. The first one is thanks and praise. How many of you know sometimes you just don't feel like praising? It's been a rough week. I don't feel like it. It's been a rough morning. I've just been feeling some kind of way lately. It's been a rough while. I've been going through a bad season or whatever. Or I just don't feel good. That's when it's called a sacrifice. That means it cost you something. And with such sacrifices, he is well pleased. That's what it says. Good works. He's talking about doing good works to other people. Doing good things for people. We don't always feel like doing that, do we? Do we? Or am I the only jerk in here? I mean, really, sometimes we just don't feel like it. And to do it anyway is a sacrifice. Sacrifice means it costs me something. Cost me my time. Cost my energy. Cost me what I wanted to do. Are y'all with me? Sometimes I'm extreme, but I'm really not. Because sometimes we can get this way. For us to do these things, sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes it does cost. And when it does, he's well pleased with that. I mean, he's pleased when you do it anyway. But he is well pleased when you do something out of sacrifice. Whether it is praise and thanks or good works. Or the third one, to share. Do you know what that word share is? Who wants to try to take a guess who didn't hear me this morning? I never looked it up before. Y'all, it's koinonia. It's that same Greek word. It's that same one. Partnering together, fellowshipping together, communion, companionship, a sharer in life. Koinonia, the exchange of life, one with another. Joining together in the exchange of life. And you know what? Sometimes that costs you too, doesn't it? Because we just don't want to sometimes, right? Are you with me? And when you do it anyway, it is a sacrifice. In other words, it costs you. Sacrifice means it costs you. And with that, he is well pleased. With that, he's well pleased. Not just when it's convenient, not just when you feel like it. I have found something. Some of the relationships that have cost me the most have become some of the deepest and greatest relationships I have. Are y'all with me? Do y'all understand that? Some that have cost me the most, the ones I've put the most effort or sacrifice into. And you don't always see it right away, you know? And if you quit and you give in and, well, I tried, I'm done. You know, you can't do that. You can't do that. And you can't get offended for putting in the sacrifice either, you know? It says the Lord's pleased with that. And there's one more scripture that I probably shouldn't have to read to y'all because you know that because you're here. And that is Hebrews 10:25 when it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some are doing. It says as some are doing. But rather, even in as you see the day approaching, you should do it all the more. just tells me we need each other all the more as the day approaches, right? Well, that word assembling there is actually the coming together so that life can flow. The assembling, the coming together so that life can flow one to another. Y'all, we really do. When we come together, you may not feel it, but you do exchange life one with another when you, unless you're just resistant, you know. You ain't giving me no life. Yeah. Unless we just... No, we really do. Like the Lord said to me, whether you see it or... You don't always feel it. I don't feel like I got nothing out of nobody today. Are y'all with me? Have you ever felt that way? Oh, gosh, I feel like a jerk. Because that's how I was feeling when the Lord said that to me, and He knew that. He knew that's what I was feeling. Sometimes you'll feel it. Sometimes you don't see it. But it is happening because He made it to work that way. Life is flowing when we're joining together. So He said to me, He said, I am building strong foundation for strong families and for strong family. And He wants it for strong family all over. He wants it for all the family of God. Strong family. That we're not dishonoring other churches, other people from other churches, other pastors, other leaders. Amen? But we're valuing them as well. We value other churches and what they're doing in our city, in our community, in our nation, in the nations of the world. Amen? That we value those ones as well. We're joined to them. We're to be joined to them in one body. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we bless Your name. You are really good to us. You are so good to us. You've made a way for everything that we would ever have need of. Everything. Everything we ever have need of. Whether it's to be loved, to experience peace, whether it's a physical need, a financial need, a need in our family, no matter what it is, You have always made a way for us. You made a way through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so grateful and we're so honored that You would invite us to be in union with You. And as we're in union with You, we're in union one with another. Jesus, I ask You, you said in that prayer, I've given them My glory that they may be one in us. Teach us what that looks like and what that means and how to flow with and cooperate so that we can be joined together more and more in union with You. It's not we all look alike, dear Lord, no. But it's that we're in union with You and we're in union with one another in Your love and Your value and Your respect and appreciation of one another and what You're desiring to do in and through every one of us in the earth. It's why we're not jealous of each other. We don't have to be jealous of other parts. Every part is important. That's why we don't have to look down on another part because it may look less important. No, every part is important. Teach us, Lord, how to love and honor and respect the body the way that You do. And show us areas, perhaps, that we didn't realize that we were being dishonoring or we were being critical or fault-finding. Maybe there were things we didn't understand about another part, or we thought we knew something and we were wrong. Teach us, Lord, to be valuing of everyone. In Jesus' name, We thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Does anybody need prayer for anything?